Hello, guys, and welcome back to my podcast. I told you guys this was going to become a thing, and it is a thing now. We're having episode 2, and it's very exciting because I'm here with a special guest today, which is my mom. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Sandra.
Welcome to my show podcast thing. We're going to have a very exciting conversation today. It's not an interview. We're having a chat about something that's important to both of us. But to start us off, my mom's name is?
Zandi Twala.
Yeah, Pastor Zandi. So I just want to ask her one question to get us going, and then we'll get into the conversation. Today we are talking about cultivating healthy relationships, how to have good friendships, good relationships in general. Mm-hmm. But just so we get to know you a little bit, maybe you could tell us about a highlight of your week so far.
Highlight of my week so far. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've been on a weight loss journey for 4 months now. Mm-hmm. And it's going super well. And I've evolved into this person who suddenly likes to shop. And the highlight was probably going shopping in Pretoria this week. That was a lot of fun for me.
Yay. That's exciting. That's really, really fun. Okay, so the reason I brought my mom on here today is because she is a person that I have seen really value friendships and relationships and really just treasure and steward them well. Like, you have people that have been in your life and even my life for forever.
Yeah.
And I really love that. I think relationships are very important to God. I think he's a really relational God. So this is something that, it's a skill that I think is just important for every person, every believer especially. Mm. That's why I wanted to chat to you about it. And I think maybe to start us off, we can just talk about why you treasure relationships so much. And
Well, I treasure relationships because I found out that life is meaningful because of the relationships that we have. For instance, if you had a great car or house and had no one to be happy for you and with you and to enjoy all of that with, then what's the point? And a lot of us spend a lot of our time accumulating things and just trying to reach the next high, you know, the next better thing, better house, better car. You know, that's what we look for. But what happens when you have all those things and then you don't have people who enjoy that with you and celebrate that with you? Then it loses its value. You're not able to enjoy it the way that you should. And I've also found that making a difference in people's lives, just doing things that really leave an indelible mark in their lives, is something that brings such fulfillment. You're not going to get a bigger high than seeing a smile on someone's face or just seeing people feel like, oh my goodness, your contribution has brought such transformation to my life and to how my life will look like in the future. So yeah, I treasure and value relationships because I think basically the world and life revolves around relationships. That's me.
That's pretty good. Have you always felt this way?
I think to a large extent it was there because I grew up in a home where relationships were valued and my parents hosted people a lot. I just saw that they were all about people and serving people and contributing positively to people's lives. But obviously I wasn't conscious or aware of it. It was just something that was there in my life for the longest time. But because I do a lot of marital counseling and just a lot of other things that make me study relationships and the likes, I began to actually become more conscious of the value of relationships and therefore more intentional about how I steward the relationships. Yeah.
I really like that. Something I've been thinking about, actually probably since this morning, is that I think relationships are important, right, in general for any human being.
Yeah.
But people have different personalities. And there's some people that probably care a bit more than others. Some people do appreciate their space, don't want to have as many people, because my mom's quite a sociable person.
Well,
yeah, you tend to host people a lot. You have quite a number of friends, acquaintances.
Mm.
And I know that's not my dad, for example, is quite different.
Yes.
You know, he prefers to just keep to himself. And what does, how do we translate, like what's the general rule or your advice for that's applicable for everyone? Like how much should, the basic for how much everyone should value relationships? I hope you get my question.
I think I do. I'm still trying to map out an answer in my head though. But yeah, I think everyone should know that, especially if you're a Christian, that even your spirituality is measured against how you relate with people.
Wow.
So biblically speaking, how much you pray, how much you give to God, how much you evangelize, all of that is not as important as how well you are able to relate with other people and make them feel valued by you and affirm them. And so I'm saying that to say, as long as you are a child of God, you can't say, oh, that's not my personality, so I'm not going to be careful about how I relate with people. I'm not going to be intentional about making sure that I add value to them and that the law of kindness rules in my mouth when I speak to them. You cannot be exempt from that because of your personality type. No matter what personality you have, you know, the Bible says in 1 John verse 2 that how we evidence or prove our love, we cannot actually say to a God that we cannot see that we love him and then we neglect those who are around us. So essentially, the bottom line of Christianity is relating well with people. God says, you love me, show me how much you love me by how you relate with the person right next to you. So you're basically a hypocrite if you don't know how to relate with people well, but you're super spiritual and you hear from God and you just are sensitive to the presence of God in your life to the point that you're of no earthly relevance, or you're just so deep and spiritual that we don't know how to relate with you at all because you're just a host of the presence of God. And it's a bit hypocritical. We look at scripture, we find that you got it all wrong.
Yeah. That's a really great response, but also very challenging.
Yeah.
I think it's easy to make that excuse. You know what's really popular these days, like on social media? Just the sense of, I don't know what it is. Look, I'm an extrovert, so I can't relate to a lot of like introvert stuff. But I think maybe introverts finding a voice on the internet, lots of talk of like social anxiety, people not wanting to socialize or get out there. You know, I love my space, I have my peace because I'm alone. And just slowly this glorification of somewhat isolated lives, you know, somewhat isolated living. So, I mean, if you make it the standard for every single person, no matter the personality type, that's pretty steep.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that people have to be sociable and extroverted like we are and host parties and all of that. I'm just saying that you, as long as you're here, chances are there's people, there's your family, your nuclear family, then there's people that you work with or go to school with. Those people that are in your life should be treated well, the same way that God relates with them, that God loves them. Mm. They should experience the love of God through you.
Mm.
And people shouldn't question how valuable they are, how loved they are when they're around you, at least if you intend on having good and healthy relationships. Don't make people wonder about how much they mean to you.
Sure.
Let them know that you're happier when they're in your space. Let them know that you value. It's okay to then be someone who, obviously, as my other daughter would say, that she runs out of her social bundles very quickly. I don't mind that. I'm talking about what I understand the scripture to mean, you know, when it says you cannot say you love God and then hate your brother whom you see, but you love the God that you can't see. That's hypocritical. I'm saying make sure that you relate well from a place of consideration and just being intentional about being a kind person, someone who just chooses to be nice to people. I think that's very important for every child of God. It will obviously, I don't know, we'll go out of our, and we won't even know. A lot of times people say stuff to me about how they feel like, you know, I'm great at going out of my way and whatever. But the thing is, if I were to be honest, half the time I'm not thinking I'm going out of my way because of my personality type. So what you see as really amazing is coming naturally. So I probably don't deserve as much credit for it as I'm being given because I'm not sweating to do it. It's coming naturally. I'm doing all those things, but yeah, it's just the next thing for me to do. It's so natural for me to be hospitable, to be warm, to bring people in, to always be concerned about that one person who's failing to, you know, some people are very awkward in social spaces and I have a knack for then drawing them in and making them feel more comfortable. And I think that's a God-given thing. I'm not saying everyone has to be that way.
Yeah. I like that. I really do. I think you've helped me. So I, you know, still kind of young, but I do have some friends that I've been able to, been blessed enough to walk with for a while now, like a lot of lifelong friendships. I can already tell that, okay, I'm going to be doing life with a bunch of these people for forever. And you've actually been, you know, quite a key in that. Very practically, not just like inspiring me, but I can remember a bunch of instances where I've had a falling out with my friend and I'm just not about it anymore. Like, I'm really done. I don't want to try anymore. And, you know, you just give me a whole speech about how in this one particular situation, I just felt like, oh man, I don't know if me and this friend even believe the same stuff anymore. And you said to me, even if you're not super close anymore, you want to keep that person as a sister at the very least. You want to be able to relate well, like at any point. And I have a question, but I'm going to read a scripture first, which is in Proverbs 27, verse 9. It says, "Sweet friendships refresh the soul and awaken our hearts with joy. For good friends are like anointing oil that leads the fragrant incense of God's presence." It's a really nice scripture. "So never give up on a friend or abandon a friend of your father, for in the day of your brokenness, you won't have to run to a relative for help. A friend nearby is better than a relative far away." Fantastic scripture.
Yes.
But I just have a question about this stuff, like the idea of lifelong friendships. And I guess I'm asking for people who aren't able to keep friends forever, honestly.
Yeah.
And like, do we all have to, you know, do it this way? And
I think your life is better for it if you are able to do it. And I think everyone can do it if they choose to. For example, if you're watching this podcast, I think you can then learn. We can list, maybe give a few tips of what you can do to nurture relationships to where you know that they will stand the test of time. I know that a lot of my closest friends have been in my life. I'm 47 years old. That means I've been in my life at least 41 years from when I was in grade one. I could list, like, there's so many coming to my mind right now. People that I love dearly, they bend over backwards for me. I mean, I make it a point that I spend time with them. We don't necessarily believe the same things. I'm super Christian, if there's anything like that. I want to believe that I am. I'm radical. I'm not, like, I'm a bit extreme for a lot of my friends. But I was speaking to one just maybe 2 weeks ago when I was in Eswatini, and I was in stitches as she was telling me some hilarious story about how she's met a guy and how As soon as the phone rings, she can feel electricity just bolting from her legs. She's shaking her head like that. Just being dramatic. And that relationship, she was telling me that, I don't want to talk to Pastor Zandi right now. I want to talk to my friend so I can tell you everything that I want to tell you about that relationship. And she actually went on to say, I appreciate that I'm able to talk to you as a friend. And this is someone who's been close to me for 41 years, since grade one. We've been doing life together. And we went on to make very different choices. But she knows that she's loved. She knows that she doesn't have to be different from who she is in order to be in my space. She knows that she can contradict me, and it's okay, because our relationship is not based on our agreement. We don't have to agree in order to get along. You can be good friends with people that you don't necessarily agree with when it comes to certain things, as long as you're respectful of their opinions and their space. That, look, she's an adult, she's made her choice. I can tell you what I think, but I don't impose it on you. I respect that you're an individual.
Yeah.
So that's one of the tips that I would put out there. I think if you want to have healthy relationships, don't expect people to conform to what you think, the way you see things. Don't walk with people on the premise of agreement, because then you're going to minimize the number of people that can walk with you. Allow people to be themselves. And a lot of times it's not necessarily what you agree with. But honestly, if you're able to be honest with them and say, you know what, this, I don't think this is right.
Mm.
That's as far as you need to go. And then the rest, just love them and let them know that they are loved, they are valued, they are appreciated and celebrated in your life.
Mm.
And then you can say 41 years later that, oh, she's a dear, dear friend and has been for the past 41 years,
mm.
you know.
I just have a question about like where the line is and who qualifies to be the lifelong friend, and which of these friends get to stay and which ones should go. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And there's an extent to which there actually can be valid reasons for breaking up a friendship. Yeah. You know,
that's like, true.
Okay, these it's are true. The people I should walk away from. And maybe let's talk about that for a little bit. Not because I don't want to talk about keeping friends, but you know what's a reality right now? Something called cancel culture, right?
Cancel
culture.
What does that even mean?
Cancel culture is a culture that is just now rampant on the internet and in general about cutting toxic people out of your life. That's the language we use, okay? How we're going to cancel you, on a grander scale, you're Pastor Zandi, you're a public figure. We check your Facebook post, maybe you're active on Facebook, we check what you were saying in 2013, we find that you used to be homophobic, and that's unacceptable.
Yes.
So we're going to cancel you today based on the stuff that you posted. Oh, it's very real.
But that's ridiculous. What if I've changed? I mean, people do change.
Yeah, but you need to be accountable for the things you posted a long time ago.
And who am I supposed to account to? And
us, that's why we're canceling you. Yeah, we won't subscribe anymore to your stuff. We're canceling you.
But why don't you just maybe call me out on it and give me a chance to make amends if I need to make amends? You can't be canceling. That's drastic. That's very hypocritical, because all of us have things that we said in the past that we're not proud of. So just because I'm a public figure, I must pay a harsher fine than everyone else. I think that's really unfair. And I mm-hmm. think the Christian community should not participate in injustice. That's my opinion. I just think if you're a child of God, it's wrong for you to then be part of the, what do they call it, mob psychology, or this is what everyone's doing, so I'm also going to do it. No, I don't think you should be like that. I think you should be showing people what it looks like to have grace for people's errors.
Mm.
So as people are unsubscribing, I think you should be the voice that says, guys, maybe this is wrong. You are hypocrites because you've said things that you're not proud of. And no one is. And just because no one is digging up dirt on you doesn't give you a right to now just be mean to someone else, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
I think that's some great insights, for real. And the thing about cancel culture is, it also then translates to a smaller scale, not a public figure, but the people in our lives that we think are. And I, you know what, I think it probably comes from a valid, you know, point where a lot of stuff was acceptable in the past. Sometimes we don't have such great relationships with our family. We have people that are actually genuinely toxic.
Mm.
And in the past, it's like, yeah, but they're family, so you have to tolerate their nonsense, you know, forever. But I think lines have gotten a bit blurry, you know, with, I mean, how toxic is, who defines toxic, you know, at this point? Some of it could be like, honestly, my mom and I will sometimes, you know, debate about, like, how I look or how I'm going to dress up for a thing, right? My mom, as you can see, is quite the doll. And, you know, she'd like for me to dress up like that too. And I don't always conform. And I think it could be easy, honestly, the way things are set up now, to just be like, oh, my mom is so toxic, because this is not an extreme accusation. I'm telling you.
No, I can't.
My mom's toxic because you try to force
my standards, yes, my values on
yes,
me.
Beauty standards, but contemporary beauty standards on me, and you don't accept me for who I am. You want me to put on makeup? So toxic. I don't want your energy in my life anymore. Therefore, I'm canceling you out.
Yeah.
And so there's...
I'm sorry, but I now believe that the cancel whatever you're talking about is from the pit of hell. I'm sorry. I just believe it. Now, because only now I'm recalling conversations that I've had with people where they told me that, oh, this person doesn't want me. Okay, the one person that I'm thinking about is a sister from church who was telling me that her sister-in-law doesn't want her at her brother's house because she says, I don't like your energy. You have negative energy and whatever. Ooh. So now that you're telling me about this, I'm like, wait.
Oh, that's very real.
This thing is just demonic, and it's come to bring dissension and factions in the family system, in the church community, everywhere. Because the devil can have you if you're isolated. Honestly, we are better off together as a people. But you are right to say that there are relationships that should be, should not be given the same place in a life. For example, if it's really destructive, you misbehave every time you're around this person, you end up making choices that you regret or whatever. I mean, something that's tangible like that. It's not something that's in my head that, you know, I can't deal because you have a different opinion from me. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I end up drinking, for instance, and I know that I shouldn't be doing that, and I don't want to be doing that. But every time I'm around you, you know, I end up, then I would say you need to steer clear. But still, I wouldn't say you need to be nasty about it. I would say you need to communicate that, you know, with the person to say, look, I'm not comfortable because A, B, C, D.
Mm.
So again, you are leaving it on a positive note. Mm. You're not leaving someone feeling like, oh, they're the devil. And, you know, I think that's problematic when it becomes that way.
So what are the indicators of toxicity, or okay, this is a relationship that I should, so I know you spoke about that, like someone who makes you go against your values or your own boundaries all the time, that's a good indication. But what else is qualifies for, okay, no, you should create distance here and not be in this space anymore?
I also think maybe if someone is every time that you are with them, you end up, it just takes away from who you are as a person. Okay, I'm going to make an example. I have a very dear and close friend of mine who I've also known for a very long time. All my friendships are rather, long. Have been in my life for long. But she met this guy and they were really, like, there was so much they liked about each other to the point that they started a relationship and it was serious and they were thinking of, you know, getting married. But she started to tell me about what happens when they do fight, when they quarrel. And she told me of the one incident, not even just the one, but maybe just a couple of times where she behaved out of character. Like she when she was telling me, I was like, there's no way you did that. She was like, I started screaming at him. I just started screaming and I was like, you don't scream. I've known you for years and I've seen you in relationships. You don't even, for whatever reason, this guy was able to press all her buttons and she could become a very ugly person that she couldn't recognize when she was with him. That's how I knew that she probably needs to walk away from that. Sometimes some relationships just bring out the worst in you. You just become a horrible person. So I would encourage you to, you know, again, for me, this cancel culture thing is just very difficult to comprehend even, because it's almost like then I'm cutting you off forever. Like, I don't talk to you. I don't greet you. That's ridiculous. I think you can have, I have people that I keep at arm's length, but I have very civil relationships with them. I mean, we greet each other. I wish them well, but we just don't interact on a social level because it's just better for everyone involved. Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah. But I think maybe it's more important to talk about, okay, to me, to talk about how to make relationships work than how to get rid of relationships when they're annoying.
That wasn't my point. But it was just like, what does qualify?
Yeah, I hear you. Mm. I hear you. So if you're a child of God, I think you're lucky or you're blessed, or because then the Holy Spirit also teaches us to how to navigate relationships. Mm-hmm. He has a way of showing you an angle that you hadn't seen. So sometimes you feel really justified in a relationship. You're happy to, you know, even in marriage, actually, especially in marriage, I find that you really feel like you were wronged. You know, this person shouldn't have done that. And it really looks like that. Anyone who listened to you would. Mm. But the Holy Spirit has a way of just bringing up an angle that's like, what? So it's my fault, you know? And just also making you understand that to whom much is given, more is expected. I used to feel bad because I used to feel like if I so much as look at a person funny, the Holy Spirit comes down on me like a ton of bricks. Like, it's like, people say mean things to me all the time, and I know that you're not even rebuking them. They don't come back to apologize or anything. I thought of this in my mind. I didn't act on it. And the Holy Spirit is like, wapang, wapang. Like, you don't do that. You love people. And I used to just feel like, Lord, how is it fair? This person gets to do whatever they want to me. And I had a bad thought. And now you're not letting me go. You know, it's like, you need to do better than that. And God said, to whom much is given, much is expected. Mm-hmm. So I have a very good background. I grew up with two loving parents. I mean, obviously the stuff that happened in my past as well. But for the most part, so much was my heritage is amazing. Mm-hmm. I was a loved child. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people that I'm interacting with and I expect a lot from don't even know what love looks like. Mm-hmm. Even as you try to explain it from the word of God, 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is kind, so Zandi is kind, she's patient, she's this, it's abstract. Mm-hmm. They don't even know how to grasp. They never experienced it, they never saw it anyway. And then you're expecting them to treat you as well as you treat them, but you grew up in a very loving environment where you were just surrounded by love. You were validated. You have so much confidence. You have so much understanding. Your perspective is just different. And then you expect them to do as well as you are doing. It's ridiculous. To whom much is given, more is expected. So sometimes we do need to be very sensitive to where people come from and what they're dealing with. And if you want to nurture good relationships, you need to be willing to lay down your life. It's not as hard as it sounds. It really isn't. And I'm going to explain.
Please.
I'm going to explain it. It's
laying down my entire life. It's not as hard as it sounds. Oh.
I can explain. I'm saying that because we're connected to the source of love. So it's like a tap saying, I might get tired of giving water.
Mm.
But it's like, so it's cool. Not even your water.
Yeah.
As long as you're still connected to the source of the water, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
So laying down your life is not difficult when you're allowing the person of love, God is love, to fill you constantly. So then you're able to, I don't know, you're just able to overlook people's errors. You know, love believes the best. Love, you're doing it, but you're not even keeping a record of it. Mm-hmm. You're not feeling like, even last year I did this for you. Mm-hmm. And then you did, you're not even feeling like that, mm-hmm. you know? And when it's time for the Holy Spirit to maybe teach that person something, you will know. There's just a knowing in you that, okay, I'm going to step aside. And there's no condemnation. You just know that I'm doing it in sync with what the Father is doing in this person's life. I remember there was a friend of mine who was just having financial struggles and all of that. They were going through something in their marriage and they were in separation and And I was constantly just looking after them, just making sure that they're not experiencing all of the pain of the separation and just trying to cushion them. And one day, my friend was telling me that her kids need winter clothes, and I had an account, you know, that they could use. And just as I was about to say, you can use my account, because I was, the Holy Spirit was like, no, don't do that. You need to get her to fix her eyes on me instead of on you, because now she's not even looking to me for anything. She just knows that my friend's going to sort this out. My friend's going to help me. So then I withheld good from her, but I wasn't doing it to be mean. And I was so surprised. I think a few weeks later, she was giving a testimony and she was like, I didn't realize that I was depending on my friend until this. And she literally cited that incident. She was like, and then the Holy Spirit spoke to me to say, you know, you don't even lift your eyes to me anymore. Oh. You're just constant. So I'm saying that to say, in relationships, sometimes you will have to do things that seem different from what I'm trying to teach right now. Like tough love. You'll have to give tough love. You love your friend, but you will take a stand and say, no, I won't accept that. I won't allow you to treat me like that or to speak to me like that. It's not right. And you need to grow up and do better. And when love is your source and he's teaching you, you'll do it at the right time. And the results will show you that, no, that was there was a witness in me that this is the Holy Ghost, yeah. Mm. So it's not that you're just being nice and you're not holding anyone to a certain standard. No, no, you love your friends, you're very transparent, but you're also very vocal about what's right and what's not right. I think I enjoy my relationships a lot because I am not pretentious. I don't do more than I intend to do. If I'm not available, I just am not, you know? And I'm not ashamed or sad. I don't hold myself to a ridiculous standard. I'm able to say, oh, right now, this is the space that I'm in. You know, I love you, but I'm not available for that. I'm not going to do that with you. And people love knowing where they stand. And people do very well when you're transparent and you're open and honest with them, I think.
That's really good.
Mm.
That's really good. So I guess those are the tips for then going for the long haul, like keeping it going forever. What can you speak into in terms of friends that are for a season? Because those exist as well, right?
Mm.
So how do you know this one is for a season and this one is the one that I'm going to be friends with forever?
I don't think you're telling yourself that this one is for a season. I think it then pans out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just find that my seasonal friends, as we're going to call them for the purpose of this discussion, are still my friends. It's just that there was a season when they were extremely close and necessary and then after that season, you can say we drifted, but it's not drift in the sense of we then discarded the relationship. We just drifted in the sense that we're not interacting as much. But should we get an opportunity to do it, you'd swear we were hanging out just the other day. I mean, yeah. You know, I have class of 91 people that I went to high school with. Some we started primary school with, mm-hmm. high school with. They're still my friends.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come and visit us at the house, stay for an entire weekend, and I'll behave very different from how I normally behave when I'm around them. And I love it. I look forward to it. But those are friends that I don't interact with on the regular. But when I do, we're a house on fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Mom. Yeah. I think relationships are so important. And sometimes as the culture is evolving, we shift things around that shouldn't be shifted around.
Yeah.
Even in terms of how we value people, how we choose, you know, how to when to keep them in our lives. And even the gospel, we can kind of tweak it because it's like, yes. Yeah, but today, mm-hmm. how relevant is it? And,
yeah.
you know, so I think it's really good for us to go back to basics, check in the word, and just look at what it looks like practically to yeah. love people and choose them all the time.
Yeah. And honestly speaking, I think that a lot of what we want from God or expect from God, God has already supplied, but it isn't in the heavenly places and we're waiting for it to come down. It's in the relationships that you steward well. A lot of the companionship that you're looking for, that you're crying out to God for, Lord, I feel so alone and whatever. That's because you fail to steward relationships well. There's sure. people who would bring, would just fill that void so quickly if you were a little more responsible and sensitive when it comes to relationships. Sure. And then there's needs, practical needs, financial needs, and that would be met. You wouldn't need to be praying about them if you valued certain relationships. So my life is really full. I feel like, I always feel like I'm living a better life than what I dreamt of. I always wanted to be married and have children and just be happy in life, you know. But even in my dreams, I really had not thought I'd have it this good. And I'm so thankful to God. But a lot of what I'm enjoying, a lot if not all of it, is from relationships that I have. If you removed those people from my life, then it would look totally different. So my life is beautiful, but it's only beautiful because of relationships. You remove the relationships, I don't want any of it, you know? I'm hoping that what people will take away from this chat today is that they can be more intentional about, and honestly, just making people know who they are in your life, and then setting time aside, practical things, you know. We're not going to just meet unless we plan, because life is busy now. People have so many things that they need to be doing. But if you value me, then, you know, let's have that coffee. Plan it. Plan to spend time. And when we do spend time, communicate to me what space I take up in your life, how much I mean to you. Sow the correct seeds. There's something we teach when we teach couples about love banks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a theory by a concept taught by Dr. Bill Harley of Marriage Builders, if you just want to check it out. But he speaks about the fact that everyone, Marriage Builders.
Yeah, it's just, I think most of my audience isn't even married, so, but thank you.
No, but it's actually good stuff. You don't need to start learning about marriage when you get married. So you can check it out whichever way.
Okay.
So he speaks about love banks and says every human being has a love bank. So you're either making a withdrawal or you're making a deposit into the person's love bank. So we deposit love units, we withdraw love units. When I do something nice and kind and I say something nice and kind, I'm making a deposit. And when I do something hurtful or something that someone doesn't like, then I'm making a withdrawal. And then he speaks about, obviously he speaks more in line with romantic love. He speaks about how at a certain level of love units being deposited, then romantic love is activated. For instance, if you're depositing 10 units, 100 units, at maybe 1,000 units, then all of a sudden the love becomes a different type of love. Yeah, but I'm saying that to say, make deposits and avoid withdrawals in your relationships. Avoid things that you know are hurtful, that this friend won't really like. But be intentional about making the deposit, because then it just makes for lifelong relationships in the long run.
Yeah, that's some really solid stuff. Thank you so much for coming on here and chatting with me, Mom. Probably, hopefully, we'll be seeing you again on this podcast.
Yeah,
guys, please do share this and subscribe and like and all of that good stuff. We will see you soon. Bye.
Bye.